The opening, Rashi, the beginning of the parsha. Rashi, at the beginning of the parsha, quotes from the Medrash Rabbah. Why does it say three times, Shana, 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 Me'a Shana, Ve'esma Shana, Be'sheva Shanim? So Rashi says that it's a hekesh, that Baskuf ke'baschof lechet, that just like when she was 20, she wasn't involved in Averis, so too, when she was at the age of 100, she didn't do Averis either. So some of the Mefarshim say, must be a misprint. How do you know that a person is 20, to 20 years old isn't a baschet? Must be, and a girl 7 years old is so good looking that you say when she reached the age of 20, she was as good looking as when she was 7 years old. Fakert, the 20-year-old girl looks better than a 7-year-old girl. So some Rishonim say the Giris is a mistake. I think the Bartanura says like that, that it should be everything the reverse. The Bas Esrim ke Bas Sheva Lachet, that a 7-year-old is not Bar Chiyuva. So any of theirs they do don't count. And Bas Meyos ke Bas Esrim le Yofi, that a girl is 20 years old, is very beautiful. But others say, no, that the way he says in Rashi is correct, that Bas Chof is Noki Michet, because the Bezun Shalmaila doesn't punish until you do an Aver after the age of 20. So the Chacham Tzvi has a tshuva where he doesn't like that idea. He tines that even though it appears in Midrashim, he thinks that it can't be correct, because the Halacha says Beferish in Yevamos, a few times in Yevamos, that if a person... You're only chayiv chatos if you do an aver b'shogeg, which if you would have done it b'mezid, you would have been chayiv koris. Kol she'was done a koris, she'igos a chatos. What if a person is mechal Shabbos, a reads chayla v'dam between the age of bar mitzvah and chof? So the Gemara said b'feirish that they're chayiv chatos. Why they chayiv chatos? It's not zdon a koris. Why should it be she'igos a chatos? So the Chacham Tzvi thinks that it's a hoichachem from the Bavli against this idea, that the Bezun Shalmaila punishes also after Bar Mitzvah, Bas Mitzvah. One would be Chayv Koris if he did an Avera before the age of 20. But the problem is that this idea appears in the Bavli also quite a few times. There are a lot of Agaritas in the Bavli that are working on the assumption that until the age of Bas Ben Chof, one is not Nenish Bezun Shalmaila. The Pashtus is that the Bezun Shalmata punishes one, the personality starts to be formed from the age of Yud Beis or Yud Gimel, and then it's really completed at the age of 20. So the Bezun Shalmaila is not manish until the person is fully mature and the personality is completely formed at the age of 20. And the Bezun Shalmata is manish in the beginning of that crystallization process when the personality is beginning to be formed and the maturity is beginning. So what do you do with the Chacham Tzvi's kasha? How come the child who doesn't have aver between the age of bar mitzvah and 20 is chayv to bring a chatos? So the Pashto says you don't need that. This person should have actually been theoretically chayv koris if he would have done the aver b'mezid. The aver of chilul Shabbos is an aver chamur that is with the koris. Even though in this case the person was not a bar chayuv in bezon shalmaila, but he was a bar chayuv in bezon shalmato. So he did an aver. He did an aver b'shogeg, which if he would have done it b'mezid, if he would have been older, it would have been chayv koris. Even though now, when he did the aver, he was younger, that's called davus hazdana koris, is shigigos hachatos. What? What do you say, that one? The Pashto says that's the same teretz to the Mishnah Melech's kasha. Mishnah Melech has a sefer Parashas Drachim. And at the end of the Parashas Drachim, they have the small countries Derech Mitzvah Secha, which they printed now in a lot of the Sefer Mitzvahs Laharambam. So in the Derech Mitzvah Secha, he usually lists off what are the chilukim and the minyan mitzvahs between the Rambam and the Ramban and the Smag and the Sefer Achinoch, and he has little ha'oris, has different sections there. He has little ha'oris about some details in the Sefer Mitzvahs. And one little ha'oris that he has is the following kasha, that there is a Gemara Masechah Shabbos, I think it's on Daf Ayin Beis, where the Gemara has a Machlekes of Yechon Beis Shlokish. What's the din? A person was Machal Shabbos B'shoigig, he brings a Chatas. Machal Shabbos B'mezid, you're not off the hook with a Chatas? What if the person was Hizid B'lav V'shogag B'koris? He knows that you're not allowed to do Malach on Shabbos, but he didn't know that it's punished with Koris. They did the Aver B'mezid, but he didn't realize how chama the Aver is. If he would have realized that the Avera carries with it Kares, he would not have violated it. So it's B'shoigeg and the Chaymu Avera. He's at Bala B'shoigeg because is he Chayv Chatos or not? Do you consider it Mezid or do you consider it Shoigeg? So Rish Lakish says that it's Mezid. He knew that it's also to be Mechal Shabbos, so it's B'mezid. So he's not Chayv Kares. So he's not Chayv Chatos in such a case. And Rabbi Yochanan disagrees and we pass like Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara says in Yivamas and Daf Lamed Vav, whenever there's machlekes Rabbi Yochanan Mishlokish, the ruba of the cases we always paskin like Rabbi Yochanan, except for three cases, but we paskin like Mishlokish. This is not one of the three cases, so the din is like Rabbi Yochanan. The hizit bala b'shogeg b'kores is called shogeg. So you are chayv chatos. So then the Gemara makes a shaila, and Rava makes a hashvah. The Gemara, the din is in Chumash, if a non-Koyin, non-Koyin is called the Zar. If you're a Levi or a Yisrael, you're not a Koyin, you're called the Zar. Zar she'ochal truma b'meizid is misa b'dei shamayim. Zar she'ochal truma b'shoigeg needs some kind of kapara, just like one that does an aver b'shoigeg, which he would have done it b'meizid with mechayv kareis. So he does the aver b'shoigeg is chayv chatos. So one who does an aver b'meizid, for which he's chayv misa b'dei shamayim, so we should really require that if he does the Aver B'shogeg, he should need some kapara also. So that's what the Chumash says. A Zar She'ochal Truma B'shogeg has to give Keren B'chomish. You have to give Peiris if you ate. I'm not a Kohen, and I ate Truma B'shogeg. If I would have eaten a Truma B'mezid, would have been Chai Misa B'dei Shemayim, but I ate the Truma B'shogeg. So I have to give, let's say the Truma is worth $10 worth of Truma. So I have to give $10 worth of peiris that convert to become truma. You have to give an asan lakainas hakodesh. So the Mishnah says you have to give davar haroi lias kodesh. You can't make out a check and you can't give cash. You have to give peiris. And if you drank wine, you have to give wine. And if you ate bread, you have to give bread. And if you shmeared oil, you have to give oil. So you have to give keren v'chaimish. Chaimish is another 25%. And then you get a kapur. But if the Tzar eats Truma b'mezid, then he's not miskaper by giving Keren v'chomish. So there's a machlekes Rabbi Yochanan Mishlokish. So there's a machlekes Abaye v'Rove, whether the same machlekes Rabbi Yochanan Mishlokish would apply there. So Rove says that yes, it's the same machlekes. It's hizit bala v'shogak b'misa b'dei shamayim. Rove says, just like Rabbi Yochanan says on Shabbos, he's a bala b'shogeg b'kareis, is chayev chatos. So too, zar she'ochal truma, he's a bala. He knew that it's forbidden, but shogeg b'misa b'dei shamayim, he didn't realize how chomer the avera is also considered shogeg, and he is miskaper. He does give keren v'chomish. You don't consider it mezid, you consider it shogeg. So Rabbi says, Keren v'chaimish is to misa b'dei shamayim, just like chatos is to kares. A dovish has done a kares, and she goes a chatos. So dovish has done a zav shochal truma b'mezid, it's misa b'dei shamayim. So she gigosai is keren v'chaimish, and he gets the kapur. So the same way Rabbi Yochanan says by the chi of chatos, by eating chaylu b'dam, by chilu shabbos, that if he's a belab v'shogeg b'kares, that's called shogeg. We pass like Rabbi Yochanan, so too by the Zar She'ochal Truma, the Mezid, his Balav, the Shogeg, the Misa B'dei Shamayim, same thing, that he would also be Miskaper with Keren V'chomish. So the Mishlam Melech is bothered with a Kasha, and his little country is Derech Mitzvah Secho. He has to follow a Kasha. The Mishnah says, Beferish, that a Zar She'ochal Truma Tmeo also Chayv Keren V'chomish. Not only if the Tzar eats Truma Tehora, even if the Tzar eats Truma Tameya, is also Chayiv Keren V'chomish. But there's a Gemara in the end of Chulin, where the Gemara quotes the Amoraim is saying, the Pasuk says that Tzar She'ochal Truma B'mezid Misa B'dei Shamayim, so the Lashon HaPasuk is the Mesa Bo Ki Yichaleluhu. There's Misa B'dei Shamayim for the Tzar She'ochal Truma B'mezid because Ki Yichaleluhu, because he was mechala the truma by eating it, he's not a kohen. He wasn't supposed to eat it. So the Gemara said, that's only if the truma is truma tahora. What if the truma is truma tamea? So the Gemara has a drasha. Prat lezush and mechulelus v'amedis. Since the truma tamea was not oimid lachilus hakohen anyway, because it's tamei, A kohen is not allowed to eat truma in a state of tuma, whether the kohen has tumas aguf or the truma has tuma. It doesn't make a difference. There will be a difference if the kohen has tumas aguf, then it's misa v'dei shamayim. If the truma is truma tamei, then it's only an isar esi. There's no misa v'dei shamayim. But again, a kohen is not permitted to eat truma in a state of tuma, whether he's tamei or the truma is tamei. So the Mishnah says that a zar she'achal truma b'shoigeg is chayiv kerem v'chaymesh, whether the truma was truma tahor or truma tamei. So the Mishnah Melech is bad in the sefer derech mitzvah is bad with a kasha, but the Gemara says zar she'achal truma tamei is not misa b'dei shamayim. Because the pasuk says a mesa b'ki yichal aluhu prat lozu shemucholelus v'amedes. The only time the zar is chay misa b'dei shamayim if he's by his truma is mechalal the truma. It was aimed lachilas akayin and he messed it up. He ate it. He's not a kohen. But if the truma was any bad truma tameyo, so the kohenim can't eat it anyway. So he's not really being mechalal the truma. So then there's no misa b'dei shamayim. So the Mishnah Melech is the kasha. But you just said in the Gemara that Kerem V'chaymish is the kapora for Misa B'dei Shamayim, Lachatas is the kapora for Kores. So if the Gemara says Truma Temeo, the Zar She'ochel is not Chayiv Misa B'dei Shamayim, so why should he be Chayiv to give Kerem V'chaymish? That's the Mishnah Melech's Kasha. So Mistama, the answer has to be the same answer that the Achrayim say on the Chacham Tzvi's Kasha. In order to be required to bring the kapara of Kerem V'chaymish by Zar She'ochel Truma B'shoigeg, you're not required that in this particular instance you have to have violated an aver, which if you would have done it, amazing, it would have been misa b'dei shamayim. A zar she'achal truma usually has misa b'dei shamayim. If it's truma tamei, so there won't be any misa b'dei shamayim. Based on a pasuk, misa b'kir chalu, prat lezu shem b'cholelus v'amedes. But since the Isser of Zar She'achal Truma sometimes has Misa B'dei Shamayim, even in a case where it doesn't actually have Misa B'dei Shamayim, still, you're still chayv to give the Kerem V'chaymish. So that's probably the same teretz on the Kasha that the Chacham Tzvi was bothered with. How can you accept all of these midrashim that say that until the age of 20 the Bezun Shalmaila doesn't punish? How can you say that? But the Gemara is a beferish that the child who doesn't aver b'shoigeg after bar mitzvah, even before the age of 20, is chayiv a chatos. If there's no zdona chorus, why is there a chayiv chatos? The answer is, it's not to be taken literally. It doesn't mean each and every case you judge individually, would there have been chorus here? So the same thing, you don't judge each and every individual case, would there have been misa b'dei shamayim in this particular case? The Issa has, in general, the Issa has misa b'dei shamayim. This parsha, the Torah tells us that Avraham Avinu was interested in burying his wife. So the Gemara Sanhedrin has a discussion. How do you know that there's a mitzvah of kvura by Shar Meisim? What do you mean by the expression Shar Meisim, other than Haruge Bezdin? Because in Chumash Dvarim, when the Torah writes, Ki yish chet mishpat mavus v'humas v'salisos ala'etz, v'salin nevelas ha'etz k'kovetik b'ena v'yamahu k'ilas alakim toloi, so the Pasuk only goes, Ki yish chet mishpat mavus v'humas and Haruge Bezdin. By Haruge Bezdin it says there's a lavless solen, you're not allowed to leave the body overnight, and a mitzvah says it kovtik brenna by yamahu. There's a mitzvah says and a mitzvah slay says it. But maybe the mitzvah says of kvur is only in Haruge Bezdin. I didn't know that a mes al mitos, a person dies from old age. He dies a natural death, not Haruge Bezdin. How do you know that there's a din of a mitzvah of kvur? So the Gemara seems to have a machlokes hatanoim. Because the Gemara Sanhedrin, Perek Nigmar Adin, has two brises, one after the other, mamish back to back, that are practically word for word exactly the same. And the Lecha Mishnah on the bottom of the Rambam has all the dinim of Kvure and Hilchas Ovel. And he writes, why did he put Hilchas Ovel right after Hilchas Sanhedrin? Why did Hilchas Ovel belong after the Rambam? Rambam is very Masudadik, and this one is a little bit off. So the Rambam gives a little stretch. He says that since in Hilchas Sanhedrin he wrote about the Haruge Bezdin, about Arvin Misa, he wrote about Dini Mominis, Adin Torah Mominis, Dini Nefoshes, Dini Malkus. So since he wrote about Dini Nefoshes and the Mitzvah of Kvura says in Chumash in connection with Haruge Bezdin, so that's why he's going to put all of his Avelis right after Hilchas Sanhedrin. Okay. Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, as I said, this is a quirk in the Rambam that it's really not in the right place. So the Lechem Mishnah on the bottom of the Rambam there points out that the two brises are practically word for word exactly the same. The slight difference is both brises say the same thing, that even Meisal Mitos, even not Harugi Bezin, Menayim Lesham Meisim, other than Harugi Bezin, there's also Mitzvah Gvura. So one brise says, because it says a kefaloshin kavatik berenu, a kefaloshin kavatik berenu is a ribui l'rabbi shamesim as well. So that's what the both prices say. But that's a big machlekes hatanaim, whether he darshan l'shon is kfulam or not. That's the machlekes Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Kiva holds lo dibur Torah k'lishon ben yodem. Torah doesn't repeat words unnecessarily. So whenever you have a kefaloshin, hanik tanik, nosin titen, pasach tiftach, something like that, mos yumas, so you always darshan something from the Kefa Loshen. Rabbi Shmuel says, no, Dibur Torah K'lishon Ben Yodam. The Torah was dictated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe Rabbeinu using common usage, language the way people speak. People repeat themselves a lot. So you can have extra words in the Chumash that don't necessarily teach you anything. So that's what the two brises. One brise says, Minayin L'meilin Ismeisu Shoeva B'Loisesi. The other brise says, Zecha L'Dover. One brise says Shenem, one brise says Zecha L'Dover, that it's only a Zecha Kavetik Brenu. So the Lechem Mishnah points out, it seems to be a Machlekes Satanaim, where the Kvura Bashar Mesim is the Raisa de Rabbanim. Then he points out the Gemara had a Suffolk, where the Kvura is for the purpose of giving the person who died a Kapara. Well, Kvura is because of Kavod HaChaim, that it's not the Kavod of human beings, to leave dead bodies around like that, strewn around like that. So the Gemara says, what's enough, Kamina? What if a person, before he dies, leaves instructions, I don't want you to bury me, I'm not interested. Don't do me any favors, I'm not interested in getting any kapara. So then even if you're going to bury him, it's not going to get a kapara. He says, I don't believe that burying people gains any kapara for them. So if you say that kvura is done by Shah Mason because of kapara, so the fellow says, I don't want the kapara, I don't believe in it, so he won't gain anything by burying him. So why should you get involved in an act of futility? But if you say that it's because of Kavod HaChaim, to leave dead bodies around is a bizoyin HaChaim, it's a violation of Kavod HaChaim. So then even if he says Lo Tikbru Vehu Gavra, you still bury him. So the Rambam writes this din, even if a person leaves instructions, please don't bury me, I don't want to be buried, you still bury him. And the Rambam says the reason why, he should have said because it's Kavod HaChaim. The Gemara had the suffix, is it Kavod HaChaim, is it because of Kapara? So the Rambam writes a totally different side. He says, because it's a mitzvah nechumish. We don't listen to the guy left in the struggle because of mitzvah nechumish. So that's not the tzad that the Gemara said. So the Lechem Mishnah explains the Gemara's tzad, the Gemara's suffix, whether it's because of Kapara for the mace or because of Bizayin HaChaim, Kavod HaBriyos of the Chaim, the Gemara's suffix was on the assumption that the Kvura Shar Meisim is only the Rabbanan. But if you hold the Kvura Shar Meisim is Daraisa, so there's no mokum for a suffix, because Lo Yidashin in time of the Kro. The Pasuk says you have to bury Meisim, you have to bury the Meisim. You don't clear a Chakira, what's the reason for the mitzvah? Whatever the reason doesn't apply, the mitzvah won't apply. That's what we call Lo Yidashin in time of the Kro. That's Machlekes Rav Shimon and the Chacham, whether Dashin in time of the Kro, or Lo Yidashin in time of the Kro, by the din that you're not allowed to lesach val beged almana, you're not allowed to take a zamashkin clothing from an almana. So Reb Shimon is of the opinion dashin in time the krov. You know the reason why? Because atam asiyah shem rabish chen esel. What will the neighbor say? Every morning he's going to come to give it back a dress to wear in the daytime. Every nighttime he's going to give it back her pajamas and take back the dress as a zamashkin. So the neighbors will say that he's having an affair with the almana. What if the almana is a millionaire? She's a wealthy woman. Say, Mrs. Gimbel's and Mrs. Macy's, and I lent her $500,000 and she gave me a million dresses as a mashkin. She's not going to wear those dresses. She has 1,000 dresses at home. She's not going to wear, I'm not going to have to do hachzaras a mashkin for her. So if Shimon says, Darshin in time in the Kro, even though the Chumash doesn't give any reason for the prohibition, we have to figure out what the reason is, and that reason regulates the application of the mitzvah. Whenever the reason doesn't apply, the whole mitzvah doesn't apply. And the Gemara says, we don't pass like Reb Shimon, we pass on Loi Dashin in time in the Kro. Unless the Chumash says, Beferish the mitzvah with the reason. If the Chumash says the reason next to the mitzvah, So then the Chumash says that mitzvah only applies when the reason applies. But here, L'safa Beger Amana doesn't say. So that's what the Lecha Mishnah points out, that the Rambam understood that the Gemara is Ibaya, why is there a mitzvah of Kvura and Sham Esim? Is it because of Kapora for the Nifter, or is it because of Kavar Abrius for the living? That's on the tzad that one should assume, like one of the two brises, that Afal Pishain Ra'ala Dov is Echel Dov, it's only the Rabbanon. Kvura by Sham Esim, it's only the Rabbanon. So what's the reason for the Takana the Rabbanon, and when does it apply, when doesn't it apply? But the Rambam Paschal is that Kvura B'Sham Esim is the Raisa. So therefore, it does make a difference what the reason is, because Lo Yedashin time in the crow. That's what the Lecha Mishnah has that on the Rambam. Yeah. So the Rambam, Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva. He says, we follow that Rambam and that Lecha Mishnah. We assume it's a machlokes satanaim, where the Kvura B'Sham Meisim is the Raisa, the Rabbanon. We pasken that it is the Raisa. So under all circumstances, you have to bear. Yeah. Does that mean that there's no special, unique mitzvah of Kvura B'Haruge Bezen? Because it's the same Haruge Bezen, everybody else is the same. So the Gemara says not so. Haruge Bezen is a special din of Kvura. The original pasuk of Kvura by Haruge Bezen is still a special din, because usually Enkoiv in Tzadik Eitzel Rosha, Enkoiv in Rosha Chomer Eitzel Rosha Kal, and over here the Mishnah says in Sanhedrin, you bury the Niskolim in Esrafim in one cemetery, and the Harogim in Achnokim in another cemetery. So the Gemara says, isn't that a violation? Skila is Mohammed than Srefa, the way we paskin. One Tana holds the reverse, Srefa is Mohammed than Skila. But whichever it is, they're not on the same level of severity. One is Mohammed than the other. The same thing, Chenik and Saif, they're not on the same level. We paskin Skila, Srefa, Herik, Chenik. Chenik is the lowest. And Reb Shimon holds no, Srefa, Skila, Chenik, Saif. Saif is the lowest. So the Gemara asks, how can you bury the Niskolim next to the Nisrafim and the Nechnokim next to the Naharogim? It's a violation of the Enkoiv inside Enkoiv in Rosh Chomer, it's a Rosh Kal. Gemara says, Hilchas HaGemira, Lord, Ad Halacha Moshe Messina. That's the din. You have to have Shnei Bati Kvoris HaYisimulayim, you have to have two cemeteries. And it's a special din of Kvura, special mitzvah of Kvura by Harugi Bezdin, unlike the regular din of Kvura by Shem HaYisim. You have to be medaknik, not to bury Rosh Chomer, it's a Rosh Kal. By Harugi Bezdin, you don't have such a din. Likewise, the Gemara learns that from the pasuk Kavatik Berenu, from the Kefa Loshin Kavatik Berenu, that it's marbe even the Suda Shenechnag Bo, if they choked him to death because he deserved the Chenek, so you have to bury the scarf that you choked him with also in the Kever. And the Saif Shenerag Bo, you don't keep on reusing the same Saif. You have to use a different Saif each time. When you bury the person who was first killed by the Yadu Adim Tiyabab Rishon, the Adim, give him the Sayef. You have to bury that Sayef with the person who is killed by the Bezin. You don't have such a din. Let's say a person was murdered with a pistol, so you have to bury the pistol. No, it's only a din by Haruge Bezin. It's a special din. So you see that Kvura by Haruge Bezin is a special mitzvah. Is it? We assume that the mitzvah Kvura applies to Sham Esim as well, Min HaTorah, but by the Haruge Bezin, it's a special mitzvah Kvura by Haruge Bezin. It's interesting, in Shulchan Aruch, the Achrayim say, you're not allowed to bury a Rasha next to a Tzaddik. Let's say that a Jew became a Meshumad, and he dies, so you want to bury him. So he's Jewish, you have to bury him. But you can't bury him next to a regular Jew, so you have to be Marchik 8 Amos. Why do you have to be Marchik 8 Amos? Because Dalar Amos on the mace is called Tfusas HaKever. The two girsas in the Mishnayos in the end of Nazir, whether the girsas Tfisas HaKevu with a Yud or Tfusas HaKevu with a Vav, but it means the same thing. The Alaramas around all sides of the mace is called Tfusas HaKevu, so you're not permitted to have interlocking Tfusas HaKevu. So you have to have Harchoka between the Meshumet and the Israel, you have to have Harchoka of at least 8 Amas. Some are Makbet, even, let's say, a Jewish cemetery and a Goy cemetery, some are Makbet, you even have to have a fence on top. Marshal Amar David Diamond, there's such a din in Hilchus Shabbos and Erevin. That's what I think the Tuv Tamid Das has this marshal. Shlomo Kluge has that marshal. That just like on Shabbos, if you have an area that's a Rishus HaYochid, you're allowed to carry. But that area is, let's say, when they made the Erev around Manhattan many years ago, Rav Moshe has a whole tshuva about it. So when they made the Erev around Manhattan, so there are bridges that go from the middle of Manhattan. They don't start at the edge of Manhattan. They start for a few blocks before the edge of the island. They go over to New Jersey and go over to other locations. So there are tunnels that go under the ground. So that's called Nifratz L'makom Asur. If you have an area that's enclosed and has mechitzas around it, has the status of Rishus HaYachid, but you can if you'll be carrying in the Rishus HaYachid, you can easily walk carrying something out of the Rishus HaYachid without crossing a mechitza. You can go on the bridge, or you can go through the tunnel. So Nifratz L'makom Asur, you're not allowed to even carry within the Rishus HaYachid. So Gzerim HaDerabbanan that you may carry out. You have to put a mechitza there that the Rishus HaYachid, but it had the tiltal, shouldn't be Nifratz to a makom Asur. Rav Shlomo Kluger writes, he has a sense, he has an intuitive feeling that that's what it should be by the Mesim also. You have a harchoke, 8 amis between the Yisrael and the Meshumed, so he thinks that that's not enough, you have to have a fence also. It should be Nifritz L'makom Asalam. Some Achrenim were Mekel, some Kehilas in Europe were Mekel, that they had the Jewish cemetery right up to the Goyish cemetery, one next to the other. They just had a fence above the ground. That the fence above the ground enables you to bury the mason one next to the other without any harchaka whatsoever. And I think most of the Achronim disagreed, and they said, no, the fence is above the ground, and the people are buried below the ground. What does it help if you have a fence above the ground? You really have to have harchaka veidamas, that there shouldn't be interlocking tfusas hakever, and in addition to the harchaka veidamas, not to have interlocking. So then Reb Shlomo Kluger and the Tuv Tamidas added on this. He has the feeling that it shouldn't be a nifritz l'makom masala. In addition to the harchaka eid amis, you should also have a fence on top. But you can't rely on the fence alone. So one of the rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael recently wrote a whole tshuva about 25 years ago. He wrote a whole tshuva, came up with a chiddush, which I thought was absolutely incorrect. Came up with a chiddush that the only time the Poskim said that you need a harchok of 8 amas is between a meshumed. A Jew became meshumed at a nochri because the din of tfisas hakeber dalal amas around is a din mid the rabbanan because a mace is metamei ba'ohel. So you may be standing next to a mace and you, by mistake, you put your hand on top of the mace. You won't realize it just became tamei. So they made a din, a chumer mid the rabbanan, that if you're within dalal amas, if you're within Dalaramas of a maze, you're already Tamei Midirabbana. That's called Tfisas HaKever, Tfisas HaMaze. To make sure that no one will by mistake become Tamei Be'ohel by being Mahel on top of the maze without realizing it. So if you're Dalaramas away, he said there's no Chashash. So this Tamei Chacham in Eretz are passed away already. This Tamei Chacham thought that din only applies to Maze Yisrael, where he's Metamei Be'ohel, but Maze Akum. The Rambam Paskin, Meisei Akam are only Metami B'magam Masa, not B'ohel. That's a Machlegis HaTanoim. Machlegis HaTanoim in different places, in the end of Bob Metziah, and in Yeromas, different places. So the Rambam Paskin is that Meisei Akam are not Metami B'ohel. So if he's not Metami B'ohel, so it does make sense you have to be Machik Dalaram, even if you put your hand directly over the mace. He's only Metami B'magam Masa, it's not Metami B'ohel. So why should they make a din? That Dalal Amas around is also Metami. There's no need for such exerit. So that's what one of the Rabbanim from the Rabbanut came up with such an einfall. The only time the Poskim required a Harchok of Ein Amas, if they're both Jewish, one is a Meshumid, and one, so he's a Rasha, Ein Kreiv in Rasha, Eishel Tzadik, so you have to be Marchik, Ein Amas, between the Meshumid and the Yisrael. But one is a Nochri, one is the Yisrael, so the Nochri is not Metami Ba'oil. So by him, there is no Din of Tfusas HaKever Dalal Amas around. The old din the Amas around the maze, that's the Gemara, the last daf in Soita. That's a din midirabon and exera because Shema Yahil ala maze without realizing it. But if Meisei Akam and Atmatam Bo said there's no din of Dalal Amas, that's what he said. I thought that was a big joke. If you say the whole din of Dalal Amas around the maze, Tvisas Akeb is only a din midirabonan, so on the level of the Raisa, how would one possibly violate the din of Ein Kreiv inside the gates of Russia if they're buried one next to each other? There's no din of tefisas hakever. So only have the mamish laying on top of each other. The two mesim, the mes nochri and the mes Yisrael, or the Rosh with the tzaddik and mamish, one on top of the other. That's ridiculous. One next to each other is also an iser. So you have to say that some shir hachoke. So I thought for sure that shir of dal and amis, that the concept of tefisas hakever, that's a din deraisa, the haraya, that the Gemara Sanhedrin said that by the haruge bezdin, the Suda Shenechnak Bo and the Saib Shenerak Bo have to be buried also. Ima bitfu sasa, the Gemara says. The Gemara says you don't bury it together with the haruge bezin, with the person. You don't bury the body with the sword that you killed him with. You bury the sword toch dalarama. So the Gemara seems to say that the concept of tfusas hakever within dalarama is that's a concept deraisa. Called the tikkun rabbanon kein deraisa tikkun, when the chachamim wanted to make a gzera derabbanon that you shouldn't stand so close to a mace that by mistake it may be mahil and you won't realize it. So why they give a shir dalaramis? You can't stretch out your hand dalaramis if you stand. How can you make such a mistake? If you're 3 amas away, you can stretch your hand out. It's impossible. No, there was always a din deraisa of dalaramis around the mace. It's called tfusas hamace. Imo b'tfusasa is dalaramis around. So when they wanted to be machmir with the rabbanon, not the kohenim shouldn't come too close to the mace. On the Yisrael, if he's within dalaram, he should act as if he's tameh, because maybe he was mahil without realizing it. So they chapped on, they used the shear deraisa of dalaram, because the shear does exist on the level of deraisa. Benegeta tfusas hamace. So I thought it wasn't correct. I thought that even if one is a nachrim, one is a Yisrael, the achrim say the feirish that against this talmud chacham. They say beferish, even if one is a nochah, one is a Yisrael. The original Chumah, the Achronim said that you need hachok of 8 amas or more, was taka by Meshumid and Yisrael. But then the later Achronim say, who are the Nami? The same thing, a nochri and a Yisrael. The dal amas around a mace, that's a din deraisa. It's not just a din derabbanan. The din derabbanan is patterned after the din deraisa. So the Gemara raises the question. The Gemara has that discussion in Sanhedrin and Daf Mem Vavaso. Mar has a discussion. Is there a mitzvah in HaTorah kfura shar meisim? Or is the mitzvah in HaTorah only by haruge bezin? So the Gemara quotes today's Sedra. Avraham Avinu is matriach himself to bury his wife. Don't you learn that from the others? The fact that he was matriach teaches us that there's a chi of kfura. So the Gemara says, not necessarily so. Maybe the Yodim in the mitzvah kfura is only on haruge bezin. Maybe since that was the minig in the days of Avraham Avinu, that the Nochrim, everybody used to bury the Mesim. So whatever the minig is that you do, you're obligated to do out of Kavod HaMesim. The same thing, Hesped, the Gemara has a discussion. What's the story with Hesped? Is there a chiyuv to say Hesped? Gemara says, why not learn out from the fact that Avraham Avinu delivered a Hesped for Sarah? So also the Gemara says, maybe that was the minig amokim. Whatever the minig is, you chiyuv to do mitam. Kavod HaMes, kavod is always, whatever the minig is, that's kavod HaMes. The Achronim developed a minig that sometimes a person would die, and years ago they didn't take a bath every day, they took a bath on once a year, twice a year. It's very rare that they bathe. Until Whitney invented the cotton gin, and they started making cotton underwear, then people started bathing more often. But until Whitney invented the cotton gin, for many, many centuries, the people were not bathing so often. So someone would die and he would have lice crawling around in his hair. He had bugs crawling over the body. So they developed a minig years ago that they washed the hair with egg yolks. They crack open raw eggs and they wash the hair with egg yolks. So they say, are you really mechuyev to do that? So they say, whatever the minig is, that's considered a kavod hames. I think b'zman hazeh most of the chevra kaddishas do not do that because most people use shampoo. Most people clean their hair. So the hair is clean. You wash out the hair with water, with shampoo, whatever, but you don't use egg. You don't use raw eggs. You have to ask the people from the Chevra Kadisha. So that's what we assume. The hesped is not necessarily, you don't necessarily see from the pasuk that there's a chiyuv to recite a hesped. It could be that it was only that was the meaning. The Gemara says that there is a chiyuv to recite a hesped. Yeah. And they quote the Siyarai from the Chumash, a chiyuv to recite a hesped even when a woman dies. Why should it make a difference a woman or a man? But that's in Shulchan Aruch says, whether man or woman, as it says in Parshas Chayisara, you deliver a hesped. The Gemara has a shaila whether the hesped is out of kavod hames or out of kavod hachayim. There's a chiyuv to show kavod hames, so one is mechabed the mace by delivering a nice hesped, or is it, no, nafkamina will be. Let's say the mace says, do me a favor, don't say any hesped. He's mechal on his kavod. So if it's mechal on his kavod, you shouldn't, and not mechuyev to say hesped. But if you hold that the delivering a hesped, the takana or the din deraisa, whatever, is if the idea behind delivering a hesped is kavod hachayim, that we shouldn't act as if a human being dies, vein ish sam alev, like a cockroach died, like a mouse died, you throw it in the garbage. So a human being dies, just get rid of him. No, a human being dies, you have to, each human being had a tzelem alakim, and each person is unique. and had some contribution to society and so on. Everyone is unique. So is it you have to deliver hesped av kavod achaim and av kavod abriyas? And no, it's kavod av the mace. And the mace says, "Don't do me a favor. Don't deliver hesped." So you should observe the instructions of the mace. The Gemara comes to the conclusion: the hespedi yikor de shachve, that the delivering the hesped is out of kavod mace, not out of kavod achaim. And therefore, if the mace says, "I don't want," so then you don't deliver hesped. A famous story when the Pnei Yeshua passed away, so he had left instructions they should not deliver a hesped. So they asked the Nadi Behuda whether they're obligated to observe the instructions, because the Gemara says hesped is covered on mace, and he says don't deliver hesped, so you don't. So the Nadi Behuda said no. That discussion in the Gemara and the conclusion that hespedi yikor de shachve, if he says don't deliver hesped, you don't, that's only by a plain person who dies. But if it's a very prominent Talmid Chacham, then the people in the community want to brag about the fact that they had this rabbi in their community. He was their rabbi. He was their neighbor. So then we don't observe the instructions of the Pnei Yeshua. We deliver the hesped, even though it's against his wishes. Because in that case, he had no right to instruct that they shouldn't deliver hesped. They want to brag that kavod abriyas, kavod achayim. They want to brag about the fact that this man was their rabbi. The Rishonim say on the Parsha that why did Avraham Avinu have to get the authorization from the whole community to bury in a different location? So the Gemara says, because every community has a right to have zoning laws. And you have no right to put a cemetery in the middle. They want to have houses over here. The cemetery should be on the outskirts. So he wants to make a new burial plot. So you have to speak to the zoning commission to see if you have permission. Or a lot of times the communities, the city government has zoning laws. You can't make a house of worship in the middle. People want to have private homes. They don't want to have a shul in the middle. So they have a right to have a kpeda. It doesn't mean that they're anti-Semitic. They don't want to have any houses of worship with a residence area. So the same thing, they have a right to insist. They don't want to have cemeteries in the middle of everywhere. Also derived from this parsha is the institution of Kevi Yisrael. That's a real din deraisa. You're not allowed to bury Jews next to goyim. Ain't kavin Rosh Eichel Tzadik, ain't kavin Rosh Chama, it's Rosh Kal. He's not permitted to bury Jews in a Goyish cemetery. Rab Soloveitchik said that Rab Chaim was so machmer on this, he thought that if a Jew is buried already in a Goyish cemetery, that it's such a bizoyan ames that a Jew should be buried in a Goyish cemetery. A Kohen is permitted to be mitami lemesim if he's the only one around. He thought that this would have the din of a mace mitzvah. Just like if there's a mace, no one's going to be metapel and nikvura, so the din is that a kohen and a nazir are permitted and obligated to be metam because it's a meis mitzvah. Rab Chaim held even if the fella is buried already, but a Jew is buried in a Goyish cemetery, that's also considered din of a meis mitzvah, and the kohen is, if need be, the kohen is allowed to be metam il meis in order to take him out. Rab Soloveitchik said many other gedolim disagreed with Rab Chaim. Apparently it was a shayla halacha lemaisa. And their generation, Abchaim held up Sachidish, that's considered a meis mitzvah. We're learning Kiddushin this year, so we learned in the first daf that the Gemara learns that Kichachim is the Ephraim. Just like it says, Beikach is Kolartza Miyodai, and Avraham Avinu purchased the Oros HaMachpelah Bekesev, so too, Kichach Yishisha Chadosha means Kicha Bekesev, Stam Kicha is Bekesev, that's how we established this institution. This is Torah Sheba'al Peh. We mentioned many times the Karoim, all the different groups of Karoim never recognized and never accepted Kiddushei Kesef, because the Rambam explained based on the Gemara that it's all Torah Sheba'al Peh. But that's the Chazal learned that. And then we mentioned Rav Hirsch has in his, one of his Sfarim in Chorev, he writes that the Maskilim used to make fun of the rabbis of the Talmud, why they derive getting a wife is like buying real estate. Just like the farmer pays enough money and he buys a farm, he buys a field, so too the man, the farmer pays money and he buys the wife. What, buying a wife? You own the wife like you own the field. It's not the same. So that's what Rabbi Hirsch says. No, that's not what the Chazal meant. They wanted to bring out the idea that just like Avraham Avinu spent so much money to be mechabed his wife after she died, the Gemara says, mechabed mechayim, the covet, the mechayim, you have to be mechabed your wife more than yourself. That's only mechayim. But after she died, then the covered ishtai isn't that strong. The din of oilehima b'ini redesima doesn't apply. And Avraham Avinu spent a fortune of money in order to buy a special cemetery plot for his wife. So that's what the Chazal meant. You should learn akicha. Akicha is the Ephron. They didn't mean to imply that you take a wife like you're buying real estate. No. You should take your wife in such a way to be mechaber the wife that even after she dies, you should spend a fortune of money to be mechaber her. Everyone should, all the Jewish couples, the husbands should be mechaber their wives to the same extent that Avraham Avinu was mechaber his wife. Whatever. That's how the Torah Shabbat Peh learned that. Kicha, kicha, mizdei Ephron. Then the Torah house, right after the burial of Sarah, so the Pasuk says, Avraham Avinu realized he has to get a shidduch for Yitzchak. And he asks Eliezer, Eved Avram, to swear a shvur b'nikitas chefetz. We only require a shvur b'nikitas chefetz. You have to hold on to a sefer Torah, hold on to a pair of tefillin. The Gemara says for a balabas, you have to have him put his hand on a Bible. In court, they make you put your hand on a Bible, swear to tell the truth and nothing but the truth. So that's called Nikitas Chefetz. Nikitas Chefetz doesn't necessarily mean you hold up the Bible. It says in Shulchan Aruch, you put your hand on it on the Sefer Torah. It's also called Nikitas Chefetz. The Gemara says in Shavuos, all Shavuos are Dayanim, you have to have that it should be a Shavuah Chamura. It has to be a Shavuah ben Nikitas Chefetz. If it's a Talmid Chacham who's swearing, so then we don't insist he has to hold, put his hands on a Sefer Torah. If he puts his hands on a pair of tefillin, it's also good. But if he's a Balabas, not such a learned Talmid Chacham, then we insist it has to be Nikitas Chefetz with a Sefer Torah. Why? There are two types of Shavuah. Shavuah ben Nikitas Chefetz is considered the maximum seriousness of a Shavuah. So whenever there's a Shavuah Sadayonim that Bezdan administers, if we want that it should be, the most Chomer possibly. There is an opinion in the Rishonim, the Ran quotes it and he rejects it. There was an opinion in the days of the Gaonim that if you take a Shavuah ben Nikitas Chefetz, has no Hapfora, has no HaTorah. There's no way to undo such a Shavuah. We don't accept that, but there was such an opinion, because the Shavuah ben Nikitas Chefetz means that it's Mochomer. So here, the Gemara in Shavuos understands, Simna Yotcha Tachas Yirechi, Avraham Avinu didn't have any tefillin, he didn't have any Sefer Torah. So what the Nikitas Chefetz is going to have? He only had the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. So what Chefetz Shal Mitzvah can he have? He was given the Mitzvah of Milo. So he says, put your hand on my thigh, and it means he'll be indirectly holding on to his Bris Milo. That's the only chayfetz that they had. After all the Sheva mitzvahs were given to Bnei Noach, so then Avraham Avinu was given the additional mitzvah of Bris Milah, Yitzchak was given the additional mitzvah of Yitzchak Kifrish Maisvus, and the Yaakov was Nitztava and Gid Anoshe. So the only mitzvah that he had was Bris Milah. So he said, put your hand on my thigh, and you'll be holding on. This will be a shvuah b'nikitas chayfetz. Why did he want that this shvuah should be such a shvuah chamura? Why did it have to be so chamur? Because this was relevant to the whole future of Klal Yisrael. If a Yitzchak is going to marry a Nochris, that's going to be the end of Klal Yisrael. Avlad Holach Achar Isha. So he insists that he has to get a good shidduch for Yitzchak Avinu, that it should be a future for the Klal Yisrael. We learn out a lot of things from the parsha of Eliezer looking for the shidduch. First of all, Eliezer is mispalel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That the shidduch should work out well. He prays to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Gemara says in Brochus, Azos Yispal Kol Chassid Leis Mitzo, Pasuk in Tehillim. So Leis Mitzo Zuisha, Shinema Matzu Isha Matzu Toiv. You have to daven. A single bochur has to daven that he shouldn't fall in, he shouldn't make a mistake. He should get a good shidduch. After you get married, then you want to have children. So the Gemara says you should try ABC, how to have children. Then the Gemara says offer a tefillah. Then the Gemara says, how do you make a parnosa? Try ABC, and then the Gemara says, and offer a tefillah. Every step of the way, you have to offer a tefillah. So that's number one. You see from the parsha that Eliezer Eved Avraham offers a tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he should get a good shidduch. And the Ran has a collection of drushes, the drushes are Ran. So the Ran points out, what was the main test that Eliezer is testing Rivka, whether she's a good shidduch or not? He wants to see if she's kind or not. Is she going to give him a drink of water? Is she going to give for the behemoth as well? And she passed the test with flying colors. She was a big balas chesed. So that's what you have to look for in a shidduch. You have to look for a woman who's a balas chesed. Then the Sefer Hasidim points out that when Eliezer speaks to the parents, he says he'd like to take Rivka back to Eretz Yisrael, that she should marry Yitzchak. Please tell me whether you agree or not. If you say no, be'efne al yamin o al smol, then I'll turn to someone else. Go to the right, go to the left. So the Sefer Hasidim says, you see from this pasuk, that if you're dating a girl and you propose and the girl says no, you don't keep on pursuing the girl. Now that's a modern shtick, that the girl says no, so it's like a fight. Who's going to win the fight? Well, the boy will keep on chasing after the girl till she'll agree to marry him. So the Sefer Hasidim says, you learn from the parsha, not so. If they say no, be'efne al yamin al smol, goodbye and good luck and a nice knowing you, and I'll go marry someone else. When Rivka was leaving, they said, Teshuva nari itoni mimo asor, acha kach telech. So they said, let her, what's your big rush to go back to Eretz Yisrael now? Let's wait 10 months or let's wait a year. Yom mimo asor, a year or 10 months, and then she should go later. So he said, no, Eliezer Eved Avram says, no, I'd like to take the girl home now. So they said, let's ask the girl what she says. Where's the pasuk? So the Medrash says, Mikan, you learn that from the pasuk, that you don't marry off a girl without her consenting to it. It's not right. The father's going to marry off his daughter, Bal Korcha. Al Pidin, he can do it, but it's a stupid thing to do. The girl's not going to be happily married. So you have to make sure that the girl agrees to the shidduch. So then she says she's prepared to go to Eretz Yisrael now. So they gave her a bracha and they said, Achaseinu atayili alfei revovah. Should have a lot of children, and the children should have grandchildren and so on. So in Shulchan Aruch it says that's the bracha, that pasuk is the bracha that the Rabbanim recite when the chosen goes to do the badekin. The Rabbanim are supposed to go along with the chosen, and they're supposed to recite that bracha. They have to say it out loud over the loudspeaker, but the Rabbanim should say softly, Achaseinu atayili alfei revovah. Should have a lot of children, should be blessed with a big family. That's a question. Why do we pick up from all the psukim in the whole Tanakh, we had to pick up the pasuk from this gangster from Lovin Hami? Okay. But that's the meaning. In some places the meaning was, we spoke about it in Shir, the meaning was that the chosen doesn't even go to do the badekin, the dogel mervava in the end of Yeridaya. On the siman about meisavib shal chosen, ima shal kala, what do you do with the chuppah? So that's the Gemara in the first parak in Ksubas on Dav Dalet. So the dogam levavah, the ha'oris of the Nadi Bihuda on the side of the page. So he writes that in Volin, in certain parts of Poland, of Europe, the minig was that the chosen didn't go to the badekan at all. Only the rabbanim went, they did the badekan, they gave the bracha. And then he suggests they did the badekan as representatives, as shluchim of the chosen. That just like you can appoint a shliach to do kiddushin, so too you can appoint a shliach to do the nisuin and the badekin according to the summary shinim. According to the matcha, the badekin is the nisuin. Yeah, that's a shayla. In today's sedra, it says that when Rivka was going back to Eretz Yisrael with Eliezer Eved Avram, so they saw Yitzchok vayetze Yitzchok lasuach basod, the lifnei sor, they saw Yitzchok was going out, and the Gemara says, ein sicha el tfilo. Sicha means Yitzchak Hiskin Tfilas Mincha. He was going to that. Lei Serev. Lifnai Serev. Ayetz Yitzchak Lachsuch Masada. Lifnai Serev. It was late in the afternoon. He was davening Mincha. So that's what the Gemara has the tradition of. Avraham Avinu Institute of Shachris. Yitzchak Institute of Mincha. Yankov Avinu Institute of Tfilas Arvis. So when she saw Yitzchak, so she asks Eliezer Avram, who is that? So she says, that's your husband. That's the chasen. I was just Mekadosh you. Taisus in Kiddushin quotes a medrash on the pasuk. Why did Eliezer take Hasara Gmala Migmala Adainov? Why did he take 10? Because you need a minion of 10 people to recite Birchaseris and Lachatrila. If you don't have a minion, you can say Birchaseris and without 10. Birchas Nisuin is Leikuva. You can't say Birchas Nisuin. The Sheva Brachas under the Chuppah, that's Ma'ake B'dievet. You have to have 10 people. And that's a Machloikis and Achrainim. What's the din? Let's say there are no 10 people, so you don't say Birchas Nisuin. So the Brisa says in Machseches Kala that Kala B'loi Brocha Asura L'Bai L'Kenida. Kala B'loi Brocha is to be taken literally B'loi Brocha. So if you don't have 10 people, you can't say the Brocha. So the husband is not allowed to live with the wife. But he said, no, Kala B'loi Brocha is a Malitza. It's not accurate. It means Kala B'loi Nisuin. And Arusa is Asur Labaila. But once you do Nisuin, the minion is not Miyakev. A shayla whether you even need Eidus Lakim Adava for Nisuin. We spoke about it. The Macheshes points out, he thinks it's a Machlekes HaRishayim. The Ramam and the Ravid, whether Nisuin needs Eidus Lakim Adava. We'll get to it when we learned Daf Yudam and Aleph. We already discussed it in the Rabbin and Nisim Goen on Daf Yudam and Aleph. So Tosis in the beginning of Ksubas got such a matter. Why did Eliezer ever Avram take Asor Gmalim Igmali Adon? Not that he needed 10 Gmalim, he needed 10 riders, riding. He took 10 Gmalim because he needed 10 people to have a minion. Because Lachatchili needed a minion for Birchas Harrison. He wasn't going to do Nisuin. He can't do Nisuin Aide Shliach. So he can only do Nisuin. The girl comes back to Eretz Yisrael, so she'll do the Nisuin with Yitzchak Avinu. But we assume that Eliezer did the Kiddushin, and the Medrash says, by Vorcho as Rivka, that they said Birchas Harrison. That's not the simple reading of the puzzle. They gave her a blessing, not they gave a blessing to the Rebbeinu Shalom. That's what Tosis quotes such a Medrash. Tosis in the beginning of Ksubis. By Rochas Rivka, they had a minion, Asor Gmalim, they had a minion of 10 people, in order to be able to fulfill the din l'chatchila, that Birchas Harrison should be recited l'chatchila in the presence of 10 people. Yeah. What else they learned from the Parsha of Shiduchim? So the Gemara says that Zivugim are assumed to be min Hashemayim, and Dovazah Kasabatar, Vishon, Bavim, Shulash, Baksuvim. So they say Kasabatar because they said, Me Hashem Yotza Hadover. They're not going to fight with Eliezer because they see that Me Hashem Yotza Hadover. And then the Gemara quotes Psukim from Nevim and from Ksuvim to demonstrate that this is so. So then again, so we said, when Rivka came back to Eretz Yisrael, so Eliezer already did as a Shliach Yitzchak, he did the Kiddushin. And the Medrash says he already said Birchas Harrison. The Medrash is assumed Birchas Harrison existed way before Matan Torah. This is centuries before Maimon HaSinai. We assume that all the brachas are only the Rabbanan. Birchas HaMazon is the Raisa. We assume all the brachas are only the Rabbanan. So the Mishkan HaSyankev points out there's a pasuk in Sefer Shmuel when Shaul HaMelech, before he became the Melech, when Shaul lost the Asonos, Asher Liyoviv, so he went. He didn't know where to find them. So the girls told him that the Navi is soon going to be here. Shmuel HaNavi is soon going to be there. And he's going to bring karbonis. He's going to say a bracha when he eats the karbonis. And ask Shmuel HaNavi and he'll tell you, he's going to ask Shmuel HaNavi. He's going to tell him where to find the asonas that he lost. So what does it mean? He's going to say shakal on the flesh. Birchas HaNenah was instituted generations later by the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah in a much later generation. So the Mishkan is Yankiv has in the Sefer on Brochas, and the Kohel is Yankiv, and the Dafa, the Gemara says, every Broch has to have Shem Malchus, Machlekes Amaroim, whether Broch has to have Shem Malchus, or it's enough if it has Shem Hashem. So the Gemara is talking about the Brocha that one recites when he's Mafrish, Trumas, and Maisus. Because when you say Vidui Maisus, Vidui Maisus recited, there's a 7-year cycle. So Erev Pesach of the 4th year and Erev Pesach of the 7th year is the Shas HaBira. You have to make sure that you give away all the Maaser Rishon, all the Truma Gedola, all the Maaser Rani, and that you have eaten up all the Maaser Sheni. You have to make sure everything is taken care of. And then you recite the Vina Maaser. You say, Bi'ati HaKadosh Man HaBais, Asisi G'chol HaShe Tzivisan, Lo Abarti Mimitzvah Secha, V'lo Shachachti. What do you mean V'lo Shachachti? So Rashi HaChumash quotes the Mishnah. The Mishnah interprets, I didn't forget to say the bracha. What do you mean? That's pshat in the Chumash. I didn't forget to say the bracha. But brachas were instituted by the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. How does the Gemara, how does the Mishnah, Maaser Sheni, interpret pshat in the Chumash like that? So that's what the Mishkan is Yankiv suggests in his Sefer on brachas, where the Gemara, and Daf Mem, quotes that pasuk, Lo shachachti melahaske shimcha malchuscha olav. So he says, apparently, brachas on Inyone Kedusha were even koyde matan ter. So that's why the brachas on Maaser Sheni, on Afrashas Truma Gedoyla, on Afrashas Maaser Sheni, is a dove sheesh b'kedusha. Hu yivarches ha-zebach, Shmuel ha-novi, the ayei ha-choyze, Shaul ha-melech, before he became melech, when he was a bachar. So he wanted to know where are the asinus, so the girls told him the novi is going to come. Hu yivarches ha-zebach, what bracha is going to say? Shahakal? No, shahakal didn't exist then. He's going to say the Birchas HaMitzvah on eating kachim. Because the Birchas HaMitzvah on eating kachim, Brochas on Inyani Kedusha existed even Kaidematan Ter. So that's when the Mishkan HaSyankev assumes also Vayvorchas Rivka, Tosfos in Ksubas quotes the Medrash, it refers to Bichas Harrison. So Bichas Harrison existed way before Matan Torah, because they all had a tradition. When a Jewish couple gets married, there's an element of Kedusha that's introduced into their lives that wasn't there before. It's much Kedusha, much Kedusha as there was when they were single. When they get married, there's a new element of Kedusha. That's the Gemara, Ish V'Isha, Shechina Shuei B'nei, because the word Isha has the letter Yud, and the word Isha has the letter Hey. So the bracha, Hu Yivorchas HaZevach, the bracha on eating karbanos, and the bracha on Kiddushin, and the bracha on Afrashas Trum, and Afrashas Maisa Sheni, these are in Yonim of Kedusha, so they used to be brachas, even Kedem Matan Tur. So here the Pasuk says that when they came back to Eretz Yisrael, and she sees Yitzchak, Vayetze Yitzchak, Lasuach Basode, Yitzchak is all dressed up, he's going to go daven mincha, and she asks, V'taymol ho'evid, mihi u'ish ha'lozeh, ha'olech l'kraseinu, ha'olech basode l'kraseinu, v'yamu ha'evid, hu adoni, that's your husband. So it says, v'tikach ha'tzo'if, v'atiskos. So she covered her face, she put a veil on her face. So some of Farshim say that this is the mocker of Badekin, that the Mishum Tznius, she already had Erison with him, because Eliezer Eved Avram was the shlech to give the kesef kiddushin to Rivka where she lived. And that's why he wanted 10 people, Asar Gemalim, in order to have 10 people, to be able to recite the Birchas Harrison, Bo Asara, Lechatchili Neid Asara. If there's any slight Shas Atchak, he can say Birchas Harrison without Asar. Birchas Nisuin Asara is Leikuva. So they already did the Harrison, they just didn't do Nisuin. So now that she came back to Eretz Yisrael, they're about to do the Nisuin, so she does Badekin, so she covers her face. And that's what others say, no, Badekin is not that she should cover her own face, Mitam Tznius. But Dekin is the way the Chosin is kinder than Nisuin. That's a form of Achnosa L'Rishuso. So this, V'tikach HaTzoif HaTizkos, this cannot be that this was the Badekin, the Nisuin that we're talking about. This was only Litznias B'Yamla. But the Badekin is the Chosin dozen. And Shulchan Aruch gave another reason why they covered the Kala's face. We learned the Gemara that it's not enough that the Kala has Das Kiddushin. She has to have Smichas Das, that the ring that he gives is really worth how much she thinks that it's worth. She thinks the ring is worth me a day at $5,000, and he got it for a nickel or a quarter, a little candy machine as a reward. He put in a quarter and he got a candy and a nickel and a ring. So then it wouldn't be a good kedushin because there's a lack of smichas das over there. So Chanukah, they say the meaning is that you cover the kala's face so she can't see what the ring looks like. And the rabbi should ask the Edom after the chuppah, is it Shavu Pruta? And the Edom say yes. So the Kala, who can't see it, understands on her own that she's becoming miskadeshes, even if all it's worth is going to turn out to be a Shavu Pruta. So that's a totally different reason why she should cover her face. It's not that that's the Hachnosa Lushuso, as appears in Megillas Rus, that... Rus Hamavia says to Boaz, "Oferas the kanafecha al amasecha. You should do the badekin. You should means that you should marry me." So there, those who say that that's nisuin, so they say the chosin has to do the nisuin. Oferas the kanafecha al amasecha. And the Dogon Bavava said, so the rabbanim can function as the shliach of the chosin. Okay. And others say, no, badekin is only that she shouldn't see the ring. Yeah, Bizman says she picked out the ring. What do you mean? She shouldn't see the ring. And others say, no, the Badekin says she should act like a tznua, that she should cover her face. Not that he should cover her, that that's the Nisuin. She should cover her face before you're about to do the Nisuin. After the Shidduch is clinched, so in Shishi, so the Pasuk says that Avraham Avinu saw that it's a nice idea. His son Yitzchak just married. So he decided he should remarry because his wife passed away. Sora died in the beginning of the parsha. So it's time for him to remarry. So he marries Keturah. And he has a whole bunch of children from Keturah. So the Gemara says that Avraham Avinu was obligated to be Mal Yitzchak Avinu. And he was Mal Yishmael, it says. He was Mal Yishmael at the age of 13. And he was Mal. But why was he Mal Yishmael? Yishmael wasn't Jewish. Kodesh Baruch Hu told him, Ki bi Yitzchak yikor lecha zera. Yitzchak is going to be Jewish, and Yishmael is not going to be Jewish. So why was he Mal Yishmael? So that was a din. Now we only have a din. You're only Mal Jewish children. If a Jew marries a non-Jewish woman and they have children, they have boys, So the boys are not Jewish, and there's no mitzvah to be mal goyish children. But at that time, there was such a mitzvah to be mal even the goyish children. Yishmael was a goy, and the b'nei keturah were goyim. So the Gemara says that Avraham Avinu was mechuyev al pidin to be mal b'nei keturah. Then there's a big machlokes, Rashi and the Rambam, what does that mean? So Rashi says, those, the eight b'nei keturah, she gave birth to Zimon, Yokshan, Medon, Midyon, Yishbak, Shuach, just a few children, that's it. So Avraham Avinu was mal those children, even though they weren't going to be Jewish. They were his biological children. That was only Harosha, doesn't apply Bisman Hazah. But it shows that there are two aspects to the mitzvah of Mila. There's one mitzvah of Mila, that's what the Orach HaShulchan explains. The Rishonim ask, why do you recite two brachas when you perform a bris Mila? First, the Mohel says the bracha Shekhasham Satsano ala Mila. Then Nabi Aben says the bracha Shekhasham Satsano lachnisa bebiso shal Avraham Avinu. So the Orach HaShulchan explains, ala Mila, Avraham Avinu was obligated to be mal Yishmael, even though he was going to remain a Nochri. He was obligated to be mal the B'nai Keturah, even though they were also going to be Nochrim. He was told in advance, be Yitzchak, he called the Chazer. Yitzchak only, not Yishmael, not B'nai Keturah. But since those are his biological children, so he was mechuyev to be mal all of his children. And then when he's mal Yitzchak, there's a second aspect to the Mila. One aspect, he's doing this surgical procedure on his children. The second aspect is that the Mila is the beginning of the Jewish education. Lachnisa v'biso shel Avraham Avinu. That's the beginning of the Torah Chinuch that the father has an obligation to give the son. There's such a medrash, Rabbah, on the pasuk in the beginning of Parshas Tazria, that Achilles Ager, was a nephew of the emperor of Rome, and he converted to become Jewish. So it was against the law to convert. So the uncle asked him, what are you, crazy? Why did you convert to become Jewish? He says, so he starts asking his uncle, do you know how many days God created the world, and what did he create on the first day, what did he create on the second day, what kind of thing? He says, I don't know. So he says, every little child, every Jewish child knows this. They know more than our Greek philosophers. They know everything. They know more than the Roman philosophers or whatever. He has to convert in order to learn, to know what the children know. So the emperor asks him, what do you have to convert? So go to school by the Jews and you pick up all that. So he says, no, you can't pick up the knowledge unless you're Jewish. Becoming Jewish is the first step. Performing, he says, he did a bris milah himself. So the manager says that lashon. Performing the bris milah is the first step in the chinuch of a Jewish child. So that's why we say two brachas by bris. The Taisa says, really ask that question. Manashtana mitzvah smilah from all the other mitzvahs. Why all of a sudden over here you say two different brachas? So he gives this answer. He says, because ala milah, Avraham Avinu was nitztaveh to be mal Yishmael and to be mal b'nei Keturah, even though they weren't going to be Jewish. He was told in advance, be Yitzchak kor l'chazah, only Yitzchak and not the others. So that's ala milah. Then you say, lachnisa b'biso shal Avraham Avinu. That's only on Yitzchak, not on the others. That's only if the children are going to be Jewish. And Ms. Manu said, that's the only way we have a mitzvah. If we have children from a non-Jewish woman, they're not related to us, they're not Jewish, and there's no mitzvah milah at all. So Rashi on that, Gemara and Sanhedrin is of the opinion that Avraham Avinu was obligated to be mal b'nei keturah, only those eight b'nei keturah who were born at that time that Avraham Avinu was alive. The Rambam writes that it applies to even Ms. Manu said, whoever is a descendant, ben achar ben, because b'umas aloich achar azochar, if you want to know what nationality you belong to, if there's a mixed marriage, the father's from one nation, the mother's from another nation, so the status of the children is determined by the father and not by the mother. Just like the mishpachosam, the beis avosam. Are you from mishpachas Zvulun, or mishpachas Yisachar, or mishpachas Reuven, or mishpachas Shimon? What shevet you belong to, whether you're a Kohen, Levi, Yisrael, that's a function of mishpacha. So that's determined by the father. When you have a mixed marriage, the mother's from one shevet, father's from another shevet. So the pasuk is the beginning of Bamidbar. One of the earliest psukim of Bamidbar says, "L'mishpachosim l'beis havosim." The same is true if two non-Jews marry, and one is from one nationality, one is from another nationality. So the halacha says that the status of the children is determined by the father. So over here, if you have a nochri today, we can ascertain that Ben Achaben, all the way going back, he's a descendant for the B'nai Keturah, then the Rambam says that Bismanazah, those people, those Arabs would be, they're probably all Arabs, those Arabs would be obligated to observe Bris Milah even Bismanazah. If you don't know who's who, So the Rambam says every Arab is chuyav to be mal himself bizman hazem. He's sofik. Maybe he's from the Bnei Keturah, but if he fails to be mal himself, we won't give him the death penalty because solving the fashas lahakel. So it's a big chiddush. The whole thing is a big chiddush that there would be. That there would be an oynish misa for not observing the mitzvah asay of mila. That's kula chiddush. The pashtus says, the Gemara says, by bnei noach azarasim zui misasim, whenever they violate a lav and azara, azara means they violate eiv menachai, or they violate gezel. When they violate the eiv menachai gezel, so the din is at the chayv misa. The Gemara says, b'nech nerag al pachas mishavar puta. Even if you only stole less than a shavar puta, it's chayv misa. That's the first daf in Perek Hador, in Erev, in the first Amid Aleph. The Gemara has like that. But the Ramban HaChumash Tain is against the Rambam, but if the Bnei Noach didn't fulfill a mitzvah saseh, the Rambam talks about why the people who lived in Shechem deserved an oynish misa. Why did Shimon and Levi they go wipe out the whole city of Shechem? So the Rambam explains, because they violated dinim. Because one of the Shevet Mitzvahs B'nech is dinim, and when they see that someone is doing an Avera, they have to arrest him and take him to court and punish him. And the people in Shechem didn't bother to do that. They left Hamor ben Shechem, they left him alone, and they didn't punish him for attacking their sister Dina. So they all deserved the Oynish Misa. So the Ramban thinks that that doesn't. Ramban HaChumash disagrees. He says, for not fulfilling a mitzvah, say of Dinim, they deserve an Oynish Misa. The Gemara says, Azarasim Zoyim Misosa. If they violate one of the Averis of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nerach. But if they don't fulfill the mitzvahs of Sheva, how can it be that the Chai Misa? So the Ramban disagrees over there. He says, why did the Shimon Balevi wipe out the whole city Shechem? He says they all knew that they all worshipped Avodah Zarah and they were all gazlanim. They violated all of the shemitz has been enough. You don't have to have two edim; eight echad is enough. And everybody knew that they violated. So they deserved the oynish misa for the violations of the isurim, not because they didn't fulfill the mitzvah. Here also, this Rambam is a chiddush. The Rambam, the Shagasari has a tshuva. Who makes more sense? He talks about Rashi or the Rambam. So he thinks that Rashi makes more sense. That every Arab today is Mukhiyev Sfeka the Raisa Luchubim, maybe he's from the Bnei Keturah. He says the whole thing doesn't make sense. Would the Bnei Keturah have a partial Kedushas Yisrael? The Mukhiyev and Bris Mila, it was only Avram Avinu as Mukhiyev HaRosh Shoah. Once in the history of the world, he was Mukhiyev to be Mal, all of his children, even those who are not going to have a Kedushas Yisrael. He knew in advance only be Yitzchak or Lechazera, and Yishmoel and the Bnei Keturah are not going to be Jewish, but he's still. He was told that he has to be mal all of his children, so he did so. So that's what the Aruch HaShulchan says, that we say two brachas. One bracha al amila, and the surgical practice and procedure. One bracha al achnis b'shal Avram Avinu, that our children are all Jewish, so the bris mila is the first step in hachnasa le bris. Because before you do a bris mila, the child won't be able to be matzliach and learning, or in shmiras amitzus and anything. So the Shagzai thinks that the Rambam doesn't make any sense. He thinks that Rashi is more mistaba. That it was only Hirosho once in the history of the world. It's not that it applies throughout all the generations. Towards the end of the Sedra, the pasuk, there's a strange pasuk, Mishma Veduma Umasa. It's the name of the Bnei Yishmael. The names of all of the Bnei Yishmael. So I used to daven in shul next to a balabas who was brought up in Berlin. He says his parents, Mr. Kut. He said his parents were from Litte. And his father was a businessman, and they were traveling to do business in South Africa. Before the First World War, then the war broke out, they were stuck in Berlin, so they remained there. And then when the Second World War came, so then he ran away to America. So he said that when the author of the Sridi Yesh, when Rabbi Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg came from Lithuania to, from, he had a rabbonus in Lithuania, and he left his wife behind, I guess he divorced his wife, I don't know. And then he came to Hildesheim Seminary to give the highest shiur there, to give smicha there. So he was a single man. He didn't have a wife with him. So he says that Weinberg used to eat by his parents on Shabbos, and he would always speak Divrei Torah by the Shabbos table. He would say over Divrei Torah, he would always say over Vertlach from the Vilna Gaon, and then say additional things. And then he did this a few Shabbosim in a row, and then they asked him, maybe he'd like to give a shiur, open it to the public, let's invite other people. So it was a shiur kavua. Every Shabbos, I think he said at his parents' home, Rabbi Weinberg would give a shiur on the parsha. So he said one of his own original comments was, I think what he told me was that in the introduction to the Quran, it says that a good Muslim has the obligation to listen to what we're telling him, keep still, to carry the burden. So he said that this instruction, this verse in the Quran, is based on this pasuk. It's listing off the names of the people, of the descendants of Ishmael. It says, Umishma, Viduma, Umasa. So that's where the Quran got this idea from. Mishma, just listen to the instruction. Duma, keep still. Umasa, carry on the burden. And observe all of the commandments that you were instructed to do. These are some of the ideas that appear in today's Sedra. Let's see. We have to point out, people make a mistake. They think that we show so much respect for the dead that we emphasize Kavod HaMeisim very much. The Gemara says that the Kohen is metame to HaMeis Mitzvah, even a Kohen Gadol and even a Nazir, he's not permitted to be metame to the Zayin Krovim, but he's metame to the Meis Mitzvah. So people think as if, oh, we place so much exaggerated emphasis on Kavod HaMeisim. That's a mistake. The Gemara says in Ksubis that if there's a procession going with a chasen kala to celebrate their marriage, and there's a crossroads in the highways, and there's a procession going with a mace to bury him in the cemetery, and they have the red lights and lights, and it's, they're both up to the crossroads. So the Gemara says, which group takes precedence? So the Gemara says the chasen kala group takes precedence to those who are going with the mace. So the Sheet Mukubetz is there, comments on the Gemara explains, because if the pasuk says that there's a din lo yitamo, it says the Kohen is not allowed to be metame lemeisim unless it's one of the seven relatives. If that's a chos apsula shalohos aliish, if he has a single sister who was never married before, lo yitama, he's metame to her. So Rabbi Shmuel says that that's reshus, and Rabbi Kiva said that it's choiva, it's a mitzvah. We pass like Rabbi Kiva. The Gemara says in Soita Dav Gimel that there are three psukim where there's a machlokes between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva. How do you translate the mashmos of the pasuk? So Rabbi Shmuel says that it's a rishus, and Rabbi Kiva says choiva. The other pasuk says le'olam ha'em tavoidu, when you have an eved k'nayni. So Rabbi Shmuel says if you want to, you can keep him forever. You don't have to ever set him free, not after sheish, not after yovel. And eved iri goes free b'sheish of yovel. Eved k'nayni, you don't have to set him free. And we pass like Rabbi Kiva that le'olam ha'em tavoidu is a choiva. Not that if you don't want to, you don't have to. You're not permitted to be meshachar eved k'nayni. Meshachar avda over be'esei. And the third pasuk, well, that's why it's in Soita Dav Gimel. The third pasuk is, if the husband is suspicious that his wife is having an affair with someone else, it says, Overal rokina vikine is ishto. So Bishmal says, it's a rishus, it's not a mitzvah to give your wife a hard time. Just because you have a bug in your head, you're suspicious. Maybe you're oversensitive. And we pass like Rabbi Kiva, that it's a mitzvah. Vikine is ishto is a choiva. If he thinks there's something wrong going on, he has an obligation to warn his wife. Artistry and mishplani. So we say that there's a mitzvah, says lo yitama. There's a mitzvah to be mitami to the Zayin Krov, and there's a mitzvah to be mitami to the Meis Mitzvah. And this is the mitzvah of Kavod HaBrios. The Rambam says that pasuk is teaching us the Rambam and the Sefer HaMitzvahs and the Rambam and the Mishnah Torah. This is a Gemara in Brochus, the sugya of Kavod HaBrios. That pasuk, lo yitama choiva, that's the marker for the whole institution of the chiyav of kavod habrios. So the Gemara understood if there's even a kavod that you have to show to the mason, kavod chaim, you have to show kavod habrios to the chaim. Kavod chaim is mochomer than kavod hamason. That's what we said on different occasions. The Bartanura raises the question when the Chevi Kadishib carry in the oren to to the funerals, everybody stands up. Why are they standing up? We didn't stand up for this person while he was alive. Why should we stand up now that he's dead? So he says, we're not standing up out of respect for the mace. We never stood up for him while he was alive. He was nobody special. We're standing up out of respect for the Chevra Kadisha who are involved in the mitzvah now. This is a Bar Tanura in the Mishnayos in Bikurim, where it says that the Meviyei Bikurim, the pilgrims, the farmers who would bring the Bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash after Shavuos, it's Chag HaBikurim, because you're not supposed to bring Bikurim before Shavuos. So the first day you can bring it is either Shavuos or the day after Shavuos. That's a discussion in Minchas Chinuch. Can you bring on Shavuos? You have to wait till the day after Shavuos. So when they used to bring, when they would march in the streets of Yerushalayim, bring the Bikurim, everybody would stand up out of respect. These were plain farmers. They weren't Talmid HaChachamim. They weren't such outstanding tzaddikim. But if a person is engaged in performing a mitzvah, you have to show kavod to the person who's involved in the mitzvah. That's what the Bar Tanura says. The dominion is when they bring in the baby before the bris, so you stand up, not out of respect for the baby. The baby didn't accomplish anything in his lifetime yet. He didn't even have a bris milah yet. Why are you standing up for him? No, the answer is standing up out of respect for the kvater, who is bringing the baby to perform a mitzvah. He's standing up out of respect for the chevra kadisha who are taking the mason. And then some rishonim and acharonim say that's why you stand up for the chosim when he's marching down the aisle. He's walking on his way to perform a mitzvah. Yeah, so that's what the Shita Mekubetz explains on that Gemara in the second parak in Ksubas, when there's a whole group of people walking in one direction on the highway to celebrate with the Chosin Kala. The other group of people going in the opposite direction and they bump into each other at the crossroads and they're going to bury a mace. So the din is that the Chosin Kala group takes precedence over the Kovra mace. Because that's a klal, kovod achaim takes precedence over kovod ameis. There's even a mitzvah of kovod abrias, even to a meis, but more so to a chai. There's a bigger mitzvah of kovod abrias to the chai. So that's that's the mitzvah of kvura, is to show kovod abrias. Gemara has a discussion, kovod achaim, kovod ameisim. There is a mitzvah of both. There's even a mitzvah of kovod ameisim, and a bigger mitzvah of kovod achaim. So Vejik, I remember once began a hesped by quoting a Medrash Rabbah on Koheles that's okay, quoted in Yerideah. Yeah. It says in the Yerideah, Kishem Shenifroi Min HaMesim, just like when HaShemayim, they're going to punish the Mesim for whatever Averis they did during their lifetime, Kach Nifroi Min HaMaspidim. So too, they're going to punish Min HaShemayim, the people who deliver a hesped, if they say things that are not true. Says Shulchan Aruch, you're allowed to exaggerate a little bit, because everybody knows should be toned down. You should take it with a grain of salt. But if you exaggerate too much, then you're held responsible like one who gives aid to sheker. Because the Medrash presents it that the Bezon Shalmaila wants to hear Haggadah Seders before they judge the person, whether he's going to be punished for Aver, he's going to be rewarded for performing the mitzvahs. So it says if someone gives a very exaggerated hesped, and he says beautiful things about a person, and it doesn't correspond to the person, that's considered Eidah Sheker. And Eidah Sheker, they're going to punish one for saying Eidah Sheker. Okay, these are some of the important lessons that I learned from this week's Seder. Have a happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you, Eddie.
Okay. Well, some of the advice was in the Parsha. I'll have to work on the rest.